So for many of us, virtue immediately begins to bring up just this old-fashioned way of living, doesn't it? Kind of brings up the idea of manners and all things proper and right. It brings up another time, like we don't live with virtue anymore, right? We're just all horribly unmannerly people that kind of stumble through life. We kind of tend to think of virtue in terms of, well, that's like clean morals, that's family values, that's what it means to be virtuous. How many of you would say, you know what, I've got that kind of an idea in my mind when I hear the word virtue? Something moral, something pure, something clean. Yeah, it's kind of the tendency that we have. I think Peter has that partly in mind, but he has so much more in mind when he says that we're supposed to add to our faith virtue. He's not just talking about moral purity. He's talking about something that encompasses so much more than that. So let's look at the text. Here's what is going to guide our discussion this morning. It's this word virtue, and it shows up in only a few places in our New Testament. We're going to look at most of them this morning. One of the main places it shows up in this text, actually three of the five times it shows up in your Bible, comes from this right here. So verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 1 says, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and those things come through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. That's that same word that we're going to look at that means virtue, okay? For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. So what is virtue? The word would have been very known to the people of Peter's day. It's not used very often in the New Testament, but it's a word that was used very often in that day. Very popular word. And the idea behind it was that it had the idea of something doing what it was supposed to. When you said something was virtuous, you would say that it actually fulfilled what it was supposed to do. So if you had a sword, you would say that sword is a virtuous sword if it cuts, right? So obviously you are looking at a very unvirtuous sword. So if you had any experience in vacation Bible school and the theme was the armor of God, those swords that they held up, you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know. Those swords you hold up, very unvirtuous. But along those same lines, if the sword was shiny and looked beautiful and looked like it could cut, if you took that sword and you tried to use it and it didn't cut someone's arm off, that's always the gauge for a good sword, just so you know. At least in my mind, virtuous sword is going to be, or ear, depending upon if you're Peter or somebody else, okay? But does it cut? Does it cut? It could be beautiful. It could be shiny. It could look great hanging on the wall. But if you swing that thing, is it going to do any damage? The same could be true of a warrior, all right? A warrior is not a virtuous warrior if he does not go to war and battle. That's the test of a virtuous warrior. So this dude back behind me, definitely not virtuous, okay? One slice of one of those virtuous swords, and this nerd is toast, okay? He is toast. He may have planned out that cardboard very, very well, but it doesn't matter. He is not a warrior in the virtuous definition of a warrior. But again, the flip side is also true. If you look like a warrior and you have everything on the outside like a warrior, but in the day of battle, you run the other way, you are not excellent. You are not virtuous. That is the word that Peter's using here. A boat is not virtuous unless it floats. And so I was doing some research on boats that sunk, and this $10 million vessel in Anacortes, getting ready to ship that thing off, some rich person is about to get on his boat, and you're about to watch an unvirtuous boat go into the water. Okay, it does not matter how beautiful it is. It does not matter how like big it is. If it does not float, it is not virtuous. You kind of get an idea of what's about to happen. You're like, something's not right. You start to watch the guy on the right. I don't think he had anything to do with building the boat, but just kind of watch him. Like, oh, no, it's $10 million. Oh, something fell. Just wait for it. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Yep. There it went. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It does not matter if it talks a big talk. If it does not produce what it's supposed to do, it is not virtuous. And there were, actually, I found several news stories on it. It's actually a fascinating story. There were people that warned about it, but they pushed forward, they put it in the water, and they had to pull it out with a crane. Crazy, crazy story. That is the idea that Peter has in mind. Virtue is fulfilling the purpose for which something is designed. That's your first blank on your sheet. So what is biblical virtue? Well, it's fulfilling the purpose for which something is designed. That is virtue. So excellence, biblically, is doing what is expected. It's fulfilling the purpose that's designed. And Peter puts this first on his list of Christ-likeness. On purpose. I mean, why do you think he puts it first? He puts this idea of excellence, fulfilling the purpose for which it's designed first, because if you do anything else without your purpose, everything else you do will be off. Knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, it will all be off. None of it will be right if you don't have your purpose. So Peter says, in this life of gospel growth, you are to supplement your journey of faith with excellence, fulfilling the purpose for which you're designed. So the question then becomes, what is our purpose? What is our purpose? I mean, there are so many things that battle for our purpose. Like, is my purpose to grow as a person? Is it to get smart? Is it to have a good home? Is it to earn money? Is it to get in a place of power? Is it to be beautiful? The makeup represents beauty, okay? Is it to be strong? And obviously, I had my cell phone out for a selfie and just snapped a shot right before this one. Luckily, I just finished a workout. Just kidding, that's Jonathan Albright's arm. So what is our purpose? That's the idea. And sometimes, if we don't have this first, then these other things can creep in, can't they? Isn't it amazing how easy we can think or how easy it is to judge ourselves based on these things? My home. I look at other people's homes and I think, man, I've got to have a good home. My bank account is low, so therefore I must... I don't have any influence over people. So what is our ultimate purpose? Well, Peter actually uses this word virtue in another place. So remember I told you that there's five places in the New Testament. We've already looked at three of them. Paul uses one in Philippians 4, right? When he says, think on these things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he uses it. But then Peter uses it in one other place. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's see this other place that Peter uses the word virtue to help us understand, okay, what is our purpose? What is the purpose of the believer? Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." So you get this idea that God has made us into a people. The next word's a purpose word, right? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Where do you think the word virtue is in that passage? You tell me. Excellencies. Yes, I made it very nice and easy. They may proclaim the excellencies, virtue of him. You're like, I didn't even know I could cheat. You can't. right now, for this moment. Do not cheat ever after. Okay. The idea is this, that we are to proclaim the excellencies of God. So what does that mean? It means that God fulfills the purpose for which it is said to be God. So everything that a God is supposed to do, God does it to the utmost. He is excellent at being God. But it doesn't just say that God is excellent at being God, does it? It says that those he's called out are supposed to proclaim that excellency. So we get this clue as to the fact that, yes, God is excellent, but it shows us what makes us excellent as well, doesn't it? So God has called out this people, and even in this text, the idea is darkness and light. So in a dark world, God has called people out to shine, to be light bearers in the world. Their purpose is to shine and show off what makes them excellent. So what makes them excellent is very simple then. Your blank on your sheet is this. Virtue is fulfilling our God-ordained purpose of developing and displaying the excellencies of Jesus Christ. That is what it means to be excellent. It's Christ-likeness. It's Christ-likeness. What is your purpose? What is virtue for you? What is excellent for you? Excellence is Christ-likeness. That's it. It is to develop that Christ-likeness in us and then display that Christ-likeness in a dark world. And if we do that, we shine as lights in the midst of a dark world. God has this purpose for all of us. The life of discipleship continues on to the point that we say, okay, I've believed in Christ. I begin following him. So what does it look like to continue following him? Well, supplement your faith with this purpose. And your purpose is to develop and display the excellencies of Jesus Christ. This great quote by a commentator, his name is Michael Green. This is a 2 Peter commentary. He says, what is the excellence of man? In a word, his life must reflect something of the attractive character of Christ. You get the idea of light in a dark world, don't you? For he is the man par excellence, the proper man. True human excellence, then, is Christ-likeness. That is true human excellence. That's your purpose. And if you go back to what Peter's been saying in 2 Peter chapter 1, what do we believe in? We believe that God has made very great and precious promises to us, that we can become partakers of the divine nature through the knowledge of him who called us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's wonderful. So why is all of that dumped on our plate? So that we know our purpose. So therefore, it doesn't matter how amazing you are at all of these things. If you know your purpose is to show off Christ, that is what matters most. It also doesn't matter if you stink at all of these things. So you can be weak. You can be poor. You can have no friends because you've forsaken everything for the cause of Christ. But if you have Christ-likeness, you fulfilled your purpose. Would you just think on that for a second? What is your purpose? Your purpose. You've been made to develop and display the excellencies of Jesus Christ. So God is amazing at being God. God has called you out to follow him. You are to display that God is showing through you in this world the excellencies of Jesus Christ everywhere you go, the attractive character of Christ. So how does Christ respond when things get hard? How does Christ respond whenever you're hurt? How does Christ respond whenever something is taken away from you? How does Christ respond whenever life is on the line? He lays down his own, and that shines as a light in this world. That's gospel growth, right? So let's keep working on this, because if that's true, then this whole path of faith really makes sense, doesn't it? Virtue is really living in the call to discipleship. That's what it is. It's living in the call to discipleship. We talked about this last week, but Mark 10, Jesus is calling his disciples to this life of faith, and Peter comes and says, well, we've forsaken all and followed you. What are we going to get? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, let me remind you of what it looks like to forsake me. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Let me remind you of how Peter sets up this list that we're supposed to add to our faith virtue. He says, for the very reason that God has enabled you to be a partaker of the divine nature, for that very reason, live in this purpose. For that very reason, make every effort to live this way. It will cost you everything. It will cost you your very life, but you will gain everything. So I wonder, how do you view your purpose? Even as you came in this morning, even as you lived your last week and you thought through, well, how did I live by discipleship? How did I live in that call to forsake all and follow Christ? Even in this moment, do you see it that way? That for this very reason, all of the great and precious promises that God has lavishly displayed on you, because of that, you want to live in the purpose of God that will cost you everything, but you will gain everything. So what that means is this change that's happening in our lives where we're adding virtue to our life, this change is not something we have to do, is it? It's something we get to do. It's something you get to do. So all these questions like, do I have to really read my Bible like every day? Can I still go to like this movie and still go to heaven? What? Like those things don't make sense when you really look at what Peter's saying here, does it? Like the cost of discipleship. It's going to cost you everything, but you will gain everything. If you live by the purpose that God has set for you, which is displaying the excellencies of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that you will forsake that God himself will not make up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. And that is the call to say, I get to live in this life. I get to. I don't have to. So as we talk about this finding your purpose, we have to go back to that word that's really important. I just want to review it really fast. It's in verse number 5. Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort. So give diligent effort to supplementing your faith. You remember that word supplement? Remember the picture that I used? This is the picture we use to describe what it means to supplement your faith. It's a very picturesque word in the Greek. It has the idea that a playwright would set up a play. He would say, I have this play. I have a stage I want it to be performed on, but I can't do it. I can't make it happen. So I need someone to go and pay for all of the actors in the set. I need someone to pay the actors while they rehearse. I need someone to make sure that those actors show up on time. I've got the play. I've got it set, start to finish. I've got the venue. Here's where it's going to happen. I've given you really the place for it to happen. Now you go and get the actors, the set pieces, make sure that they're there on time, bring them to that stage. I'll make sure the lights turn on. And I'll make sure there's people in the seats, and we will have this performance. The word supplement has that idea of lavishly supplying everything necessary for that play to go on. So what Peter's saying here is, he's saying, give earnest diligence to lavishly supply all of the conditions in your life so that the purpose of God can be fulfilled through you. Lavishly supply it. Bring everything you can to the table. Not because it's only in your strength, but because God is enabling that strength. He's set the stage. He's set everything up. Now, lavishly supply everything else. You bring the time, you bring the work, you bring the energy, and God will produce the virtue. That's what it means to supplement your faith. So a couple things are very important on this, right? We've gone back and forth through this, and I wish I had the whole time to remind you of discipline and dependence, right? Our dependent diligence concept. But I'll just put these two quotes up there just to help you, okay? One of them is, the gospel is not opposed to effort, it is opposed to earning, right? So over and over again, we see in the scripture that we are not to earn our salvation. We do not earn growth from God, but we must work. Sanctification does not happen as we sit back and wait for it. It happens as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Right? So you remember that? It's very helpful in the supplement your faith with virtue concept. But then this one's also helpful. The grace of God demands, so it commands effort, doesn't it? That's Peter's word here, is make every effort. That's a command, as it enables effort in man. And we've gone back and forth on this the whole time. So moving forward, we move forward, demanded by God to energize and work, but enabled by God to energize and work. Supplement your faith with virtue. And when this happens, we show off to others what Christ is like so that they will honor him. That's your next blank. So when we live in our purpose, we display the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We show that off to the world. And immediately your mind should be thinking of a passage in Matthew chapter 5. What is our purpose? We are something, therefore we do something. What's that passage in Matthew chapter 5? Yeah, we are the light of the world, so let your light so shine, right? So the idea is that this is our purpose in the world. God has given us this purpose. He's saved us for this. He's enabled it in us. Now go and display to the world what Christ is like so that they would honor him as well. And as we find our purpose, and then we lavishly supply everything that's needed, there's no legalism here when we get the balance right. Okay? There, we have, you could say it this way, we have all license to pursue Christ-likeness as much as we can. If we get this right, then we have all complete freedom to be as aggressive as possible in our Christ-likeness. So, really, and I put all the caveats that I put on it before, we're not earning, we're not working because we can gain this on our own, but you are as godly as you choose to be in this manner. You are as godly as you choose to be. God has supplied everything to enable it. If we work to produce the right circumstances for growth to occur, then we will grow. Praise the Lord for that. So make every effort to supplement the faith that you already have with this purpose. Live for your purpose. Display Christ-likeness. That's the reason you were made. You are a partaker of the divine nature. So then we live in that purpose. And this is very simple, because there's a reason that everyone doesn't live in that purpose. I mean, that's why we're all made, right? We're supposed to be that sharp sword that cuts. That's excellence, right? We're supposed to be that boat that floats. That's excellence. But this isn't the purpose that a lot of people live by. Why is that? Because there is a very real war going on. There is a lie that gets whispered in your ear, and that is this. To add virtue to our life, we must resist the lies of worldliness. I mean, over and over again in Scripture, we're told that there is a lie that gets whispered to us, that life is not found in Jesus Christ, that your purpose in life is not to display Christ-likeness, your purpose is to do this. And the lie of the world is, you know, I mean, yeah, do that God thing, but there's other things that are really worth living for. And I immediately think of, like, fast food advertisements, right? These are always fun. Just reminds us of everything horrible in the world, okay? You've all seen the advertisements, and then you have seen the results as well. And this one says, advertised burger can't even fit in the box that's served it. That's always a blessing, okay? There's a lie that's told to you, and the end result doesn't follow through, okay? Taco Bell, You knew this was coming, okay? Yum, all right? Delicious little cracked hard shell taco. I think this one could possibly be the worst one. This poor little Whopper there is like, wham! Rotated to most attractive angle with cheese, slightly fluffed up for picture. Poor thing, look at it. It's like, help me, someone, help me. I'm a victim of the lie of advertising. I put all that up there to show you a couple passages and help you see this. So, in view of everything Christ has done for us on the cross, your purpose is to offer your very life as a living sacrifice. That's what you were made for. You've been a partaker of the divine nature. That's your purpose. But the lie of the world is conform to the world. Conform to the world. Here is what life is. Life is found in the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life. There is a constant lie that is being whispered to us over and over again that if we are going to add virtue to our life, we must resist that. And the only way to resist that lie with any strength is found in knowing this truth about Jesus Christ. So we have to be captured by who Christ is in our heart and life. And this is your last blank on your sheet. It's on the back side. To add virtue to our life, we must capture our heart and life for Christ. So all of these incredible truths that it will cost you everything, but you will gain everything if you follow Christ. If you live in this purpose, you have the opportunity in a dark world to display the excellencies of the knowledge of Christ. Available to you is the storehouse of all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's all right there. So let your heart be captured by that. There's a book by a Puritan. It's called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. I almost said new infection. It's not an infection, it's an affection. The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. You know what that means? It basically means know what it means to be fulfilled in your purpose. See Christ and everything he offers to you. See the beauty and the value of Christ. And let that capture your heart. The world wants to say, this is your life. Look at it. It's boring. It's drab. You got a little bit there. I mean, it's nice. Probably tepid, which is a wonderful word to describe it. Tepid, lukewarm. You are either boring or you are exciting. And to get to exciting, you need the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of possessions. That's what the world tells us, isn't it? The world says over and over again, you have this puny little life. If you really knew what was fun, you would have. If you really knew what was fun, you would do. If you really knew what was fun, you would get. Does it say that to us over and over again? That lie is constantly pulling against us away from the purpose of God to display the excellencies of Jesus Christ. But Christ comes and he says, the thief, the world, comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I came. I came to give you genuine life, and it's found in my purpose. So that life is actually abundantly full. That is your purpose. To be so captured with who Christ is, that your heart and your life overflows in this display of Christ-likeness to the world. That is what Peter means when he says virtue. He says, know your purpose. Your purpose is nothing but developing and displaying the excellencies of Jesus Christ. So, lavishly supply everything necessary so that the conditions can be right so that that can grow up in your life. So how this week are you going to lavishly supply everything necessary so that you can develop and display the excellencies of Jesus Christ? How are you going to set it up? I mean, thinking about it that way really helps, doesn't it? You pull out your day planner, you look at your calendar, if that's what it means. It means that when we don't feel like doing something because we're hearing the lies of the world, that this is going to be better, we have to say, I resist the lie of the world. I'm going to let my heart be captured by Christ. I'm going to remember this picture that is my life in Christ. Everything else is a lie. You will never, never, never regret living for me, Christ is saying. I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly, overflowing, wonderful life. So lavishly supply everything necessary to develop and display the excellencies of the one who called you from darkness into his marvelous light. That is virtue. That's virtue. So what's your purpose? What's your purpose? Are you going to live in that purpose this week?